Father, please be with us this morning as we study from your word about spiritual growth. Help us to desire to grow spiritually. Help us to want to grow spiritually and to become closer to you. And then, Father, based on our own yearnings and desires, I pray that you will show us how to grow spiritually. Help us to see the people that we need to serve, the ways that we can draw closer to you, and then help us to do so. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, but I'd like you to turn to two places. Turn in your New Testaments to Luke chapter 10, and we'll be looking at verses 25 through 37. And then mark that with a bookmark or a pen or a bulletin or a card from the pew. And then also turn to Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. I'll kind of be bouncing back and forth between those. And although I'm going to refer to a couple different passages, the ones in Luke 10 and Hebrews 13 are going to be the main ones that I'm looking at. This is not going to be a typical sermon, I guess, like what I normally do. I was talking with Joey about this as we were trying to organize it and create some slides. And I said, I feel like this is more of a presentation because I'm introducing this topic and trying to get some support for it. And then the next four lessons after this will be back to more of a traditional sermon. So that's kind of what we're looking at. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul has something to say to the Philippian believers about spiritual growth. And now this is interesting because when I was growing up, and even in high school, and even in college, I guess, I would often hear verse 12 quoted, but I would not hear verse 13 quoted. And one day, I went and looked at verse 13. I went and looked at verse 12, rather, and I realized in my Bible, it's probably the same thing for you. If you look at verse 12, it doesn't end on a period, does it? It's got a comma, which means it's only a part of a sentence. It's not a complete sentence in and of its own. And so I'd always heard this. I'm going to pick up about halfway through verse 12. I've always heard this. Paul says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And guys would like to launch that from the sermon or in a Bible class. They encourage us teenagers to work out our own salvation, which means don't let anyone else from any denomination tell you what you have to do. Work it out yourself, and then with fear and trembling, which was never really explained, but kind of the impression left with us was we better be afraid of God and what he's going to do if we let some denominational guy teach us about what we have to do. And then it was left like that. You'd see posters up on the wall with this verse, which is kind of an odd poster. Like, what image you put with that? Maybe some lightning coming out of, busting up a mountain or something. What do you do? But I went and looked at verse 12 one day, and I realized there's more to it than this. And to me, once I read this sentence as a whole, it was so enlightening. Because Paul, he does say, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For then he goes on and says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And I learned that spiritual growth is a process. It's a process. It's not something that we have at one time. It's not something that we completely attain, but it's a process. And that's what Paul identifies here when he looks at this and passes it on to the Philippians. He says, you have your work to do, and that is to continue, which means ongoing work, to work out your salvation before God. And I think that's all what fear and trembling means. It means that this is something that's serious. You need to be serious about working out your own salvation, about focusing on that. But you're not on your own when you do it. In this process that you are undergoing, God is with you, working in you, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, what does that mean? Sometimes when we feel like we don't have the desire to grow spiritually, sometimes when we don't know what to do, this verse reminds us that God is working in us to help us grow spiritually. He's giving us the desire or the will to want to do this. And he's showing us the actions to take to do this. And so spiritual growth is a process. But spiritual growth also has a lot of moving pieces to it, and it requires us to balance some things in our lives. If we look at, for example, in Luke 10, we can turn over to Luke 10 now. I'm going to start in verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what's written in the law? How do you understand it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus answered, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. See, Jesus understood, and what he taught here and what he affirmed here is that spiritual growth does not happen in isolation. Spiritual growth does not happen simply by attending a worship service and hearing a Bible study. Spiritual growth does not happen only by reading your Bible in private at home. That's part of it. But there are some moving pieces. Certainly here we have loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Let's go over to Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. In this great passage, the writer of the book of Hebrews gives us two more moving pieces to look at in our spiritual growth. He says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. So we see from different teachings in the New Testament that spiritual growth encompasses the moving pieces of God, neighbor, brothers and sisters or believers, and strangers. And that these moving pieces need to come into some sort of balance for us to actually achieve spiritual growth. That if we leave one out, the stones behind us may all fall down. If we try to not build it properly by leaving one or two out that we don't really like, we're not going to achieve the balance that we need to actually grow spiritually. We may feel like we're growing spiritually, and it may work for us for a time. But there's going to come a time at which we realize that true spiritual growth that really taps into what God desires for us has to work its way out in these four areas. And so spiritual growth occurs when we take action. If we go back to Luke 10, I'm sorry to jump around a bit here, but I'm trying to focus on Luke 10 and Hebrews 13. But if we look at what happens in Luke 10, in the same passage where Jesus said, affirm the man who said that what the law teaches is that we're to love God with everything that we have and to love our neighbor as ourself, and Jesus affirmed this, he then goes on to teach about what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. And then at the end, Jesus tells the man, look at the very end of verse 37, to go and do likewise. For this man's spiritual growth, it wasn't enough for him simply to understand who his neighbor was. It wasn't simply enough for him to understand what it meant for him to love God by loving his neighbor. For this man to grow spiritually, he was going to have to put some action behind it. He was going to have to go and do likewise. And so I've looked at these passages and I've pulled out what I consider to be four transformational relationships. That if we will work relationally in each of these four areas of relationship, that we can be transformed by God to become a greater servant for Him. That we will find everything that we're looking for that maybe we feel like we're missing sometimes in our church experience. You know, it goes well most of the time, but sometimes it just doesn't seem like it's all there. But if we focus on these four areas of relationship that God calls us to in the New Testament, and if we balance them, if we don't neglect one because we don't like it, and if we don't overemphasize one because that's the only thing we like doing, then we will find balance and take action and do what we need to do to grow spiritually. There's two ways of looking at these. There's the inward relationships, which are God and other believers, and then there are the outward relationships, which are neighbors and strangers. Let's take a look first and foremost at God. In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus affirmed the man in the sense that one of the primary things we are to do is to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind, Jesus affirmed that one of the transformational areas of relationship that we need to pursue is love for God. The core thought behind that is that we're to love God with everything that we have. Jesus taught this when he looked in Luke chapter 10, or when we look in Luke chapter 10 and see what he said, when he affirmed the man by saying, do this, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, do this and you will live. I mean, that was enough. The man did not need to go further than that as long as he was going to be active by doing that. That loving God was that important. And Jesus only goes on to teach about the Good Samaritan in that parable because he gets challenged further by this guy who's looking to justify himself. But Jesus left it at that and he said, do this and you will live. So we learn from that we need to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and all of our mind. One way that we can look at doing that is by practicing what are commonly known as the personal spiritual disciplines. Most of us probably already do some of these already. These would be things like attending worship to worship God, reading your Bible on your own, studying your Bible on your own, praying. Some of you do things like prayer walking, where you walk around your neighborhood or your place of work and you pray for houses or people that you encounter. And just in your mind, you offer up a prayer for them that they would either come to know God if they don't already know him or be strengthened in their relationship with God if that's where they're at. But these are the personal spiritual disciplines that we ought to practice and focus on if we're going to give our attention to God. Worship, Bible, prayer, the things that we do that bring us into contact with God, that humble us before God, that teach us about God, that teach us what God wants from us. And so with that core thought, I encourage you to think about what you can do to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And by the way, I have a handout which is still in my office, so it was supposed to be handed out during the sermon, but it's still in my office. I'm going to put it, actually, Joey, can you hear me? Can you get that, please, on my desk and then hand it out? Sean, would you please hand that out? He's got to hit the next slide for me. Sorry about that. It's warm back in my office too, so it's we're all a little bit behind this morning. But that's what we need. The first area of relationship that we need to focus on is that of our relationship with God. And there's several core things we can look at. The next area, another inward area of relationship that we can focus on, is that with other believers. That's where we go back to Hebrews chapter 13. And in that letter, the writer simply said this: keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. He did not go any further than that. He didn't provide specifics, but he simply said, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. They were to continue in this. This was supposed to become a lifestyle for them. We can do this by focusing not just on fellowship, which is gathering together, but on looking at how we can love one another. One of the best ways that I think we can do that is to focus on mentoring relationships with each other. Probably every single one of us in here, we're all at different stages of our spiritual growth, and that means that we can actually help another person, another believer, by sharing with them, by helping them to learn more about God. But it's going to take from us a little bit of time to get involved in a mentoring relationship with someone else. This is not just a class, although it could happen in a class. It could also happen, and more likely happen, beyond the class, for example, by meeting with another believer for coffee. Maybe you would have another family over to your house for dessert. Maybe you would go out for dinner once a week with another family. Maybe you would invite another person along for a hobby that you're involved in, but starting to get to know other believers so that you can spend the time with them to get involved in a mentoring relationship will fulfill this command here that the writer left for us in Hebrews 13 when he says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. That's a command, isn't it? That's not just a suggestion. He doesn't say, if you really like each other in the church, then spend a little bit of time with them. He says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sean. And so that means that for those of us in here who are brothers and sisters, we all ought to continually focus on loving one another, overlooking the problems that we manufacture to have with each other, and so on. So the two areas of relationship so far are God and believers. But he also goes back, and here we'll bounce back to Luke 10. And again, I apologize for bouncing back, but the third area of relationship to focus on is that of neighbor. And Jesus affirmed the correct teaching of this man when the man said that what the law leads us to is to love God with everything that we have and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus said, do this and you will live. So we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. But some of us might be like this man who wanted to justify himself. And so this man says, well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus goes on to tell the story about the Good Samaritan, which we've all read before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, except to say this, that the man who was a neighbor to the one in need was actually an enemy of the one that he was serving. And so Jesus teaches that sometimes our neighbors, far from being just the ones who live in geographic proximity to us, or just those that we see from time to time at the church building, our neighbors are those that we run across who have needs that we can meet. That's our neighbors. Now, I'm throwing out here that the key action associated with this relationship is evangelism. Because the biggest need that people have who do not know Christ is to know Christ. And by evangelism, I don't want anyone to get scared. We make evangelism difficult. Evangelism can happen in many different ways. Through friendship, through service, certainly through teaching. A lot of times we emphasize teaching. But you know what? Evangelism might be as simple as you befriending a coworker and inviting them to come to worship with you where they can hear teaching about the Bible and begin to understand that, and then you can simply talk with them. You don't have to pull out a Bible and know where all the verses are for any kind of question they might have. Sometimes evangelism is just being a friend, like this Samaritan was to the Jew whom he found who was injured. And so that's, as we look at these, the areas of relationship so far, God and personal spiritual disciplines to learn to love God more, believers and mentoring relationships where we help them grow spiritually as well, neighbors where we focus on their spiritual well-being through evangelism, and now finally back in Hebrews 13, strangers. The writer clearly says, again, with a command, not with a suggestion, but with a command, he says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. In the biblical context, the word stranger goes all the way back to the Old Testament and looks at the foreigners that would take up residence in Israel or the foreigners that would pass through Israel as they were traveling to a different land. For our purposes, I'm suggesting that strangers are simply those that pass through our lives. Neighbors are a little bit different. Believers certainly are different because that's each and every one of us who's here. Neighbors are different than believers because they're people that we have a more familiar knowledge of. They're a coworker. They're a literal geographic neighbor. They're a family member. They're a friend that we have. They're involved in the hobbies that we're involved in or the groups that we're involved in. A stranger is one who just passes through our life from time to time. And for that, I say that the core action that we need to focus on for that area of relationship is service and hospitality. We can accomplish that merely by having people over to our house, maybe for Sunday dinner. If it's a visitor at the church, maybe someone would invite them home for dinner. Maybe you would serve a family in your neighborhood that you know has a need, but you don't really know them that well, but you simply offer to help them in some way. Maybe you volunteer somewhere, and through your acts of volunteerism, you encounter a lot of people that you can show hospitality to, even though you don't know them that well. In that sense, they're strangers who are passing through your life, but you can cultivate your own personal spiritual growth by being attentive to their needs and showing hospitality to them as you find them and discover what they need. These are the four areas of relationship that I believe if we focus on as a church and in our personal lives that we can be transformed. But it's going to take action again for us to do this. And I'll put out here as an example that we ought to be regularly involved in each of these areas. A starting point, I think, a minimum base point would be active involvement in the first area, your relationship with God. Focusing on the other three areas but leaving God out of it is not going to do anyone any good. We need to actively be involved in our relationship with God by attending worship, by reading the Bible, by praying to God. But then I would also suggest that what we ought to look for in our lives is to find one of the other three areas and be actively involved in that. So maybe you select believers. You would need to be actively involved in your own relationship with God and in some kind of a mentoring relationship with somebody else, with another believer. And then add to that, when you can, your relationships with neighbors and with strangers. Maybe you're very active in the community, and you would say, well, I'm going to focus on God and on strangers because I volunteer a lot and I see a lot of people pass through my life, and I'm going to focus on sharing hospitality with them. That's great. Emphasize those two areas, and then as you can, supplement them with mentoring relationships with other believers and with evangelistic efforts with neighbors. Maybe you're really evangelistic, and maybe you really like sharing the gospel with people or befriending people with the hopes of inviting them to church, to worship. Well, really focus on your relationship with God and on your evangelistic relationships with spiritual neighbors, and then supplement as you can with strangers who pass through your lives and with relationships with other believers. But each of these four areas are ways that will combine together to help us achieve spiritual growth if we will do them. If we practice one and neglect three, we'll be out of balance. If we practice two and neglect two, we'll be kind of close, but not really. If we focus on three and neglect one, we're still not totally there because we're unbalanced in some areas that Scripture commands us to give attention to. We need to find balance. We'd like to help you with this. If this is something that you feel like resonates with you, let me know. Be happy to speak with you more about this. I'm going to go through, starting on the 27th when I'm back, I'm going to do one lesson on God, one on believers, one on neighbors, one on strangers, to try to unpack this a little bit more. I realize this is a lot of information, so I'm going to ask you to take your hand out and simply pray about it. Read the scriptures, think about them, think about your own life already and what you're doing and who you like to be involved with, and you might find there how you can integrate that a little bit more. But I would like us all to get to the point where everything that we do individually and as a church corresponds to one of these areas of growth. And as we focus on that and weed out the things that aren't really helping us in these areas, we'll come to find that balance that we need to grow spiritually. I'm over time. I just want to read one thing that I read in Bible class this morning. I apologize. I've had tried to unpack quite a bit here. But in Mark chapter 10, there was some confusion about what it meant to serve Jesus. Some of the disciples themselves thought that they were going to take a leadership role here, and Jesus said no. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you must serve. If you want to be first, you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. To grow spiritually is going to require us, each and every one of us, myself included, to sacrifice. To find ways of serving believers, God, strangers, and neighbors. To serve them is going to require sacrifice. It's going to require reordering our lives in some way so that we can attain the fullness of what God calls us to. But keep in mind that as we do that, we become pleasing to God and we become just like the one who came not to be served, but to serve. We are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I pray that you will work through my forgetfulness of passing out this handout in the first place, but I pray, Father, that you will help us to understand what you're calling us to through these relationships. I pray that you will work through my attempt to describe this and explain this, to give each of us a vision of what you call us to for spiritual growth. I pray, Father, that you will motivate us by giving us the grace and the courage and the strength that we need to look at our lives and see why it's so important that our spiritual growth and becoming more like your Son, Jesus, is more important than anything else that we do in our lives. Help us to see that, Father. Give us a desire to live like that in our lives, and show us, Father, what we can do in our lives individually and as a church to become closer to you, to mentor other believers so that they can become closer to you, to lead our neighbors towards you in evangelism, and to touch the lives of strangers that pass through our midst in such a way that they're left with a thought about you. Father, help us to grow closer to you, to be changed, to be transformed, to become more like your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.